D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Hello, everybody. Just a few hours later, from 11 a.m., now at 3 p.m., we used to accompany you on your lunch break. Now we will join you on your ride home. I hope everybody is having a wonderful start to their week. I hope no hot dog trucks had any accidents.
I feel like that is the case in our state. At least today, it was not the case in Pennsylvania.
Yes, in case you missed it, a truckload of hot dogs spilled across a Pennsylvania interstate Friday, and it clogged rush hour traffic.
No pun intended. Clogged.
Yes. So
apparently hot dogs are quite slippery, according to some of the quotes of the people assigned to clean these up.
I'm sure. I am sure. Is that even meat? That's why it's so slippery. But that's for
that's
another
a discussion day. For another day.
That's a discussion for another day.
We just hope that your ride home with us doesn't involve any hot dog-related mishaps.
Exactly.
But we are so glad to be here with you on your drive home. We will be on with you every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. For those of you who listen to us from 11 to 2, hello, welcome back. For those of you who are trying us out for the first time, welcome. We look forward to having you. And quickly, before we start, because I was on vacation last week, I have not had an opportunity to acknowledge Jarrett Stillman, which I want to do quickly. When I found out that Willie, Derek, and I were moving to this time slot, I had mixed emotions. Although I am incredibly excited about this opportunity, it also means that Jarrett is not our teammate anymore. And Jarrett played a part in me being here. He offered me guidance on how to be an effective and engaging radio host, even though our approaches to this job are completely different. So I just want to take this moment to thank Jarrett for all he did for the station over the past 10 years, but also what he did for me. And I know that our friendship will extend beyond these airwaves. I look forward to running into him at preschool drop-off because our sons attend the same preschool. But I just want to take this moment to thank Jarrett for what he has helped me with as I become a full-time radio host and all he did for this station. But looking forward to being here from 3 to 6. And Willie and Derek, I thought it would be good quickly to take an opportunity to sort of introduce ourselves, because there are people listening to us right now who didn't have the opportunity to listen to us from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're on your way home. You're used to one voice. Now you have three others. I thought now would be a good time just to let the listeners know what we're all about.
Yes, yeah, so for me, I'm really excited about the opportunity. And at the same time, as we said, Derek and I had a chance to talk about this on Friday, our respect for Jarrett and appreciation for even a guy like me who, if we can make it till September 7th, guys, that would be my 32nd anniversary of doing sports talk radio, most of it in drive time. So it's going to be a while. It's been a while since I've been on in drive time, but I'm really excited about the opportunity. But you always want to get better. You always want to learn. And I learned some things from Jarrett, even though as you said, Adam, we could not be more different. We, in our styles, our way to go. And I think our show, you'll find, is going to be different, but we hope better and more effective. That's our goal anyway. And I can't wait to get started. I think the three of us, for people that maybe haven't had a chance to listen to us, if this is your time of the day where you listen, and there's a lot of people in that routine, we hope to be a part of your routine because I think we have a unique way. I think we have the best way of speaking all the languages that the sports fans in Nashville want to hear. We have Derek, who is going to be incredible as the way we pick through what's going on with the Titans. Adam and I have a lot of ability to set things up through statistics, the analytics, to go with our opinions. Derek is the eye of somebody that understands what it's like in a locker room playing the way he did. Obviously, with the Predators, we think we have insights beyond any other show in the market. And I don't think there's anywhere close to being true anywhere else. So we're excited about that facet of it here on the Predators flagship station. And everything else with college football, I think you're going to find going forward what we're going to do with our show. We'll have great characters for college football and everything else that's interesting to Nashville sports fans.
We're going to get into the sports people. You know that. And I've never shied away from giving my opinion. I will be completely fair on both ends, whether it be with the Predators or with the Tennessee Titans or Vanderbilt or UT or any other sports team within this market. I'm always fair. I'm going to tell the good, and I'm also tell the bad as well. So that's what you're going to hear from us. And Willie said it perfectly. We all, you know, we all bring a different style, but I think our styles you will enjoy because we all mesh together. We're like Voltron. We all come together and we form this big, you know, devastating radio machine. And you like that, don't you, Adam?
I prefer Megazord.
Megazord?
Yeah, Power Rangers.
Oh, my goodness. See, that tells you the age group, Willie.
Yes.
He go to Megador, whatever that
Megazord.
Is.
Megazord.
Megazord. And I go to Voltron, you know. I think Voltron can beat Megazord.
All right. Well, there we'll talk about that at
But
some
we'll talk
point.
About all that.
Yes.
But, people, you're going to get it. You're going to get it fair. We're going to give our opinions. Some opinions may be heated. Some may not. But you are going to get what you need when you're listening to this station from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. You're going to get it raw. You're going to get it fun. You're gonna get everything you want within this station.
And a lot of the guests who you were accustomed to listening to during this time slot will be with us now. We'll have Teron Davenport starting today at 4 o'clock. We had TD on the midday show. He will be with us every Monday. Trevor Maddich will join us on Tuesdays. Chad Withrow will join us on Fridays. We will be taking over the weekly interview of Predators general manager Barry Trotz during hockey season. And some of our weekly guests will be joining us as well. Jonathan Hutton will be with us. Elliot Freeman will be with us. And many more. So we are looking forward to this. It's a new challenge. Willie is jacked up. Let me tell you about Willie Donick. Willie Donick, he keeps it even keeled.
He was back there stretching. He was ready.
He was
got a little bit of a tight hammy, but I'm okay.
He is excited, and seeing Willie excited gets Derek and I excited as well. So we're happy that you're all here and that we're here with you as well. Okay, so I was on vacation last week.
Mm-hmm.
I did listen a little bit. I heard you guys talk about it. Saying, I bet Adam's listening live right now. Joke's on you. Listen to the podcast.
But you were listening.
I did, because it's important to keep
exactly.
up, even when I'm on vacation. And I know the both of you went out to multiple Titans practices. I heard Cam Ward struggled in some of those practices. I felt like a lot of Titans fans were turning into Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Cam Ward is throwing interceptions at practice. That's part of the drill, as Derek knows full well. But Brian Callahan reportedly ended practice yesterday with what Terry McCormick described as a profanity-filled tirade directed at his offense. Now, we don't have audio or video of this because reporters who were there are not allowed to record those conversations. They're not allowed to transcribe those conversations. So we don't know exactly what Brian Callahan said, but it was described as a profanity-filled tirade because of the offense's struggles. And here's the question I was thinking about, guys. Should we be surprised that the offense is struggling this mightily at the start of training camp? They have a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, earlier, well, it would have been last month now because it's August 4th. A couple weeks ago, Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com did a ranking of every team's playmakers, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. The Titans had the worst collection of playmakers in the NFL, according to Bill Barnwell. So when I hear that the offense isn't doing so well in practice, I'm not shocked to hear that. But the two of you were out at practice last week. To hear Brian Callahan apparently ending practice with, again, a profanity-filled tirade, are you surprised by his reaction based on what you saw in practice last week?
No, I'm not surprised. It happens. This team has been up and down in practice. Willie can attest. The days we were out there, you know, they end up having a bad practice then a somewhat better practice the next day. But it just wasn't as consistent as the coach would have liked it to be. You got to understand, they got four new guys on this offense, including the quarterback. And they're trying to throw as much as they possibly and humanly impossible they can throw at Cam Ward. And when you do that, and I talked about this last week, Willie, when you do, because you never want to slow the train up, because you have other guys within the offense that may learn at a faster pace and you're holding them back. So with the quarterback, you want to go at a pace you set for him and you don't want to go back. What they're doing now, I think they're throwing a kitchen sink at Cam. And when that happens, you're going to get practices that are not consistent as they need to be. But, you know, when it happens too many times, and it's not just, I don't think, it's not just the execution, because I think coaches, when it comes to executing, they understand, like, some players are going to hit, some players are not. It's not the executing. I guarantee you there were false starts, there were penalties, the offense was lackluster. That's what tends to get on a coach's nerve. When not only are we not executing, and I know that happens in practice, but there's no energy in practice, there's penalties in practice. That is the only time, especially when you have an offensive coach or a coach that feels like this offense has more to give than what they're giving, then they're going to blow a gasket. And he has every right. He's setting a tempo. He wants to get as far away from that person he was last year as humanly possible, because the person he was last year didn't seem to have sort of a firm stance on the team or with the team. He had to completely change it this year. And by changing it, things like this occur. When you know, not only is it we're not executing, but there's no energy, practice is lackluster, you know, everything just doesn't seem to be flowing the way we need it to flow, and I'm tired of it.
I do think it's important, because I think it is 100% clear to everybody who's watching Titans practice is that the young quarterback is going through some struggles and the offense in general is struggling. But as I look around the league, and I've pointed out some examples to you guys throughout the day in preparation for, I saw Justin Fields 5-for-16 today at practice. I saw on ESPN earlier today, they listed all of the quarterbacks who are, I mean, they've got 27 quarterbacks, I think, for Cleveland, I think, playing, vying for the starting job.
I think 28.
I think Brady Quinn is one of them. But they all had numbers that didn't look very good, some better than others. Here's a headline from ESPN. Steelers, defense dominates, as expected, through Sunday's practice. So it is not uncommon, even for teams that don't have rookie quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for Pittsburgh, and you just see this headline. He's been talking about how tough it is to go against the defense. That this is happening some around the league, so you have to keep that perspective. I heard Denard Wilson talking about the install, and he said, look, we're not coming into practice saying, how do we make Cam Ward better? I'm installing our defense, and our defense is complicated. Our defense is about deception. Our defense is about bringing pressure from a lot of things. So we're throwing a lot of things at Cam Ward. And hopefully that's going to make him better quicker. But at the same time, I think it is fair to say that it's not pretty sometimes when you watch play in and play out what's happening with Ward.
Although, again, we do not have audio of Brian Callahan's profanity-filled tirade. Players discussed it after practice yesterday. Here was Peter Skoronski after practice yesterday talking about Brian Callahan.
Callahan voicing some displeasure at the end of practice. How do you put a day like today into perspective in terms of the highs and lows of going through camp?
There's always going to be highs and lows. I mean, I feel like I've been through a good handful of days of man, that was not a good day offensively. We didn't execute at our top at the way we should. And we've got to be better. I think it starts with players. It shouldn't be on the head coach to kind of chew us out a little bit. You know, we should take ownership of that. and feel that. I could kind of feel, it's sort of like when he started yelling, I was like, oh, there it is. Like, I almost expected it just because of the way it felt. And we as leaders have to not let it get that way.
I thought that last part was interesting, Willie. I kind of expected it from Peter Skoronski. He could feel the offense wasn't holding up its end of the bargain. So he thought it was only a matter of time before Brian Callahan addressed it the way he did.
I think we should also distinguish. It sounds to me like Brian Callahan was more upset at the execution of the entire offense, in particular the mistakes, rather than singling out Cam Ward.
Correct.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And Cam Ward has certainly got a big, big part in it. But it goes back to the expectations of this team and where they're coming from. That was the one thing that I thought was fair criticism of Brian Callahan, where I don't think he had the horses, D-Mace, and so I don't think he should have been expected. I think they did not do a good job of defining expectations last year. I think people thought they would be better. But the one fair criticism, I think, is that they did not play sharp. They had way too many pre-snap penalties. You can look at the numbers, and D-Mace, you brought them to our attention. They know they've got to get better in that. It's a huge emphasis of their training camp, and they're still making a lot of mistakes. That's not a good sign.
Yeah. In order to be a good team, you can't beat yourself. And Brian Callahan understands that. I think every coach in the league understands that. And that's why I said it must have been not just executing, because you're going to have days. Because, you know, when we went out there last week, the days got better. It seemed like they were executing. It wasn't as consistent as probably coach wanted it. But you saw Cam do some good things. You saw the offense do some good things. But when you're not executing and you are having these false starts and penalties that are putting you behind the chains, this offense isn't good enough to be in a 3rd and 15. This offense hasn't shown they're good enough to be in a 2nd and 15. They're just not. So how do you help yourself win football games? Well, don't be the most penalized team in the National Football League. You know, you've averaged over the last 3 years, you've been in the top 10 of penalties over the last 3 years, probably even 4 years. So first and foremost, we got to cut that out. Because, again, we are not good enough as an offense right now to overcome penalties, especially holding penalties, pre-snap and post-snap penalties. I'm not saying they had any post-snaps in practice, but I'm sure there were some pre-snap things that were going on that sort of it got to a point where Brian Callahan was just pissed off.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your thoughts on the Titans offense struggling through 2 weeks of training camp practice, leading Brian Callahan to not mince words with his team after practice yesterday. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there was a tweet that I saw today that I found to be interesting, and I want to ask the All-Pro receiver to my right how true it is. 615-737-1025. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trying Tix's Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org.
I mean, we were 3-14 last year. So, I mean, any hint, sign, signature, or whatever it might be of what last year was that carries over, you know, anybody, not just Callahan, anybody on the team from anywhere, any corner, is going to say something about it. Because, you know, in the warm-up today, you know, next to Jalen Duncan and the running backs coach, like, we were talking, like, we don't even want to think about last year. We don't even want to think about yesterday, whether we won, lost. Like, just get out here today and be better.
That was J.C. Latham after practice yesterday. A practice that did not go so well for the Tennessee Titans offense. I do want to read from Teron Davenport's practice report, and Teron Davenport of ESPN will join us at 4 o'clock. Quote, after finding the end zone twice during the first team offense's initial red zone team period, Brian Callahan's unit encountered some tough sledding. The defense tightened the reins, especially in the secondary, where they took away Cameron Ward's options by latching onto receivers. Ward tried to move around to buy time, but the pass rush was getting to him, forcing him to throw the ball away. Arden Key and Jalen Harrell. Registered would-be sacks on Ward and Brandon Allen. Safeties Imani Hooker and Xavier Woods both came close to interceptions by stepping in front of passes from Ward across the middle. Still, Ward escaped the dreary day without being intercepted. Callahan blew the whistle to end practice and expressed his frustration to the team before having them run. That was Teron Davenport's practice report from yesterday. And again, when you consider they have a rookie quarterback, what one analyst believes is the worst collection of playmakers in the NFL, perhaps this should be expected. But, Derek, there was a tweet I saw today from Daniel Jeremiah, who works for NFL Network and the Move the Sticks podcast. And I want you to tell me how true this is. From Daniel Jeremiah, quote, preseason PSA, just about every defense is ahead of every offense at this point in training camp. True or false?
Not every defense. It depends on, you know, what offenses ran last year. If they got a new offensive coordinator, if they have a new quarterback, they may have some key players and some key roles within that offense, whether it be a center, left tackle. So it just depends on, you know, the team. I'm sure Kansas City or Cincinnati, they may have more good days than bad days. Why? Because their offense has been together. Those guys know that offense like they know the back of their hand. So they may approach practice a little bit different. But I think a lot of times, you know, defenses are ahead of everybody, because one thing I've noticed in the NFL, 10 guys on defense can do the right thing and one guy busts the coverage and get a sack, or he falls into an interception. That doesn't happen on the offensive side of the ball. You have 10 guys or 9 guys doing the right thing, and I'm saying minus the quarterback, but you have 9 guys doing the right thing, and there's one guy, the tackle, he blows it, or the guard, he goes left instead of going right, or the running back, he doesn't notice the blitz. That right there devastates your offense. No matter what, one blown play by an offense or by an individual on offense, more than likely it could be catastrophic. One blown play by a defensive player, one player, it may not be as catastrophic as you think, because they may end up falling into a play, a sack, or interception rather than not.
Willie, my question for you, you and Derek were at multiple practices last week with the Tennessee Titans, and I believe they have one more open practice here this week.
Wednesday morning
before they head to Tampa, Florida to practice with the Buccaneers. But a lot of interceptions thrown by Cam Ward in those practices. And, of course, they get registered to him. He's the one that threw them, who threw them. But based on what you saw, this may be a difficult question to answer, but give it your best shot. How many of those interceptions would you place at Cam Ward's feet versus something else a receiver did or what have you?
I get where the question's going. Now, I didn't see the practice where they had the meltdown by Callahan, but he threw a fair amount when we were watching. I think the one thing that jumped out to D-Mace and I was that some of the interceptions were throws that I feel like he has made before and gotten away with. But A, they are throwing a lot at him. And B, he is changing his arm angle. And he's done that his whole life. He talked about it a lot last week. He said, I've been throwing sidearm throws since I was 4 years old. But there's got to be a learning curve, D-Mace, with figuring out, yeah, this is a weapon. I'm going to use my weapon. I'm going to come in. I'm going to do what I've always done. I got to keep that confidence in the swagger. But at the same time, understanding when those lanes are just not there. I thought that was some of the reason why some of those balls were intercepted.
Yeah, there's a fine line between arrogance and confidence in this sport. And quarterbacks especially, they tote that line. They tote it closer than anybody probably outside of a wide receiver. Because they understand there's a sense of confidence that you have to give off to your team in order for them to believe you and trust you and know that you're going to get the job done. And with Cam, I'm hoping it's more so confidence than anything. He said he's not worried about, you know, the side angle throws. He's done it all his career, I mean, all his life up until this point. And I understand that part. But it's not about changing your mechanics as a whole. It's about tweaking them a little bit. You got to understand that the things you were able to do that, you know, at Incarnate Word, you were not able to do at Washington State. The things you were able to do at Washington State, you probably couldn't get away with at Miami, you know, because the confidence, you know, I mean, the competition gets a lot better. And it's the same thing with the NFL. If you're still so stuck on doing things the way you used to do, you're not going to evolve and develop as a player. I'm hoping for Cam, it's just the confidence factor. And eventually, it seemed like, but eventually, he will tweak his game enough to where it's not an overhaul, but he's tweaked his game enough to where now he's getting through the lines with some of these sidearm throws.
One thing I was curious about, Willie, this morning, Cam Ward was not a turnover machine for the Miami Hurricanes. He threw 7 interceptions all season with Miami last season. Now, Pro Football Focus has a fancy stat called turnover-worthy plays. And that is a pass that has a high percentage chance to be intercepted or a poor job of taking care of the ball and fumbling. What I love about PFF is that they have their premium stats for the college ranks, not just for the NFL. Mm. Last year, there were 40 quarterbacks in college football who had at least 400 dropbacks. Cam Ward, his turnover-worthy play percentage was 3.2%, which was tied for 21st out of 40. So right in the middle. So I absolutely understand what Derek is saying, that college game, pro game, two totally different things. But he wasn't turnover prone in college, at least last year.
I'm still willing to ride out this section of the preseason, and I'm write it off of as he's got to learn. And I would rather have them try to make him look bad. I don't know about try to make him look bad, but throw a lot at him now and have some growing pains, as opposed to let's make sure he goes 9 for 10, so that the statisticians, the amateur statisticians who don't even keep yardage right on the sideline, we're writing down the markers on our notebooks, right? Oh, he's 6 for 7 today. If that was the goal, then he should look better. But the goal, I think, is to have him learn what the defenses are going to throw at him as fast as possible. A lot of the assistants have weighed in on this because, as you can imagine, a lot of the questions at the press conferences mm-hmm. are directed towards this subject. How is Cam coming along? So he is under the microscope for sure. So I'll just put it this way. My biggest observation, it's not a worry or anything, but as I continue to look at him as the number one pick in the draft and what they passed on in order to take him, I'm still looking for just the flashes and the freakish talent that you want to see from the first overall pick. And I was hoping to see a little bit more. I think I could live with some of the mistakes and the sloppy looking plays if I were to see a few more wow plays. And I haven't seen that many wow plays. And I've been to 3 practices. I've seen a couple. I've mm-hmm. seen a few where I was like, man, that was a heck of a throw that not a lot of people can make. But I'm not wowed by his talent right now. Everybody's saying that his makeup, how he's handling this, his work ethic, he's off the charts with that. And that should serve him well. But as a talent, I'm still waiting to see if I'm blown away by first overall pick kind of stuff.
Well, I, a lot of these things, you know, we talked about, you know, how practice has become sort of game for fans because, you know, they are putting up these, you know, at least at the Titans practice, they have this big screen so you can see the play. If you can't see the field and you can look up and see the play, you know, they got the music playing. They got all this stuff going on that sort of resembles an actual football game. So with that, you're having, you know, columnists or journalists or people that is covering the team. Oh, well, Cam was 7 for 11 today. He was 5 for 10. He was 4 for 13. Coaches don't cheat that. They don't look at that type of information. They're not. That's not what they're looking for. They are looking at, is the play ran the way we're supposed to run it? We may not always get a completion. The guy may drop the ball. There may be a tip ball here and there. But if I look at the offense and I drew it up like this on the board, is it running that same way? Are we, you know, are we getting it in the line of scrimmage? Is everybody where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there? The offensive line, are they doing their job? That's the way coaches and players look at it. But now we've gotten to this point where oh, Cam, you know, he misfired on, you know, 6 of 15 throws today, or 6 of 20 throws today, and he has 2 interceptions. Well, that's really, that's telling part of the story, but it's not telling the whole story. And then when the coaches go back and they look at the film, they're not necessarily looking at it from a completion, incompletion standpoint. They're looking at it, making sure everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. And Cam, do you understand why you threw that pass? Yes, I understood it. Okay, now we can move on. It's not about – eventually it will be about, because you want to complete passes. But right now, Cam's new to this offense. I know he was in – I know he, you know, took over basically in minicamp, but it's new to him now. He's going to have moments where he's completing more passes than not, and then he's going to have moments where he's not. But when I go back and watch the film – are you going through your progressions the way I want you to go through? The offensive line, are you picking up, you know, the defensive scheme the way you need to? Receivers, are you reading it right? If that is progressing and that is developing, I'm good with that.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will continue to take your reaction on Cam Ward and the Titans offense. Coming up next, some interesting comments from Brian Callahan to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Fowler went on a training camp tour. He made a pit stop in our fair city. We'll read some of those and react coming up next at 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. So ESPN's Jeremy Fowler went on a tour of the NFL, attended 16 different teams' training camps. And let me tell you something, as a former beat reporter, there was nothing that annoyed me more than when the big wig, the big columnist, the national guy showed up in town and he got the sit down in the office with the coach or the GM. Where's my sit down? But that's what happens when you work for ESPN. So Jeremy Fowler, he came to Nashville, attended training camp, sat down with Brian Callahan. A lot of interesting information in here. We're going to dig into it over the course of the week. But here was a quote from Brian Callahan about Cam Ward that I want to discuss. It starts with Jeremy Fowler writing, and he, meaning Callahan, knows a young quarterback can galvanize a team and elevate the play around him. Callahan has seen it with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and he pays attention league-wide. Here's the quote from Callahan. You don't want to put wins and losses on a rookie quarterback, but obviously we want to win football games. When you look back at success or failure of a rookie year, you look at Jaden Daniels last year and say that was a success. You look at Caleb Williams and say that probably wasn't. But it's all based on record. Well, Caleb did a lot of good things, just like Jaden did. The teams are different. It's hard to compare these guys, but you see the standards of what it's supposed to look like. And I do think that is an important thing to point out, that Cam Ward's success, for a lot of people, specifically people who do not live in Nashville and who do not watch the Titans on a weekly basis, a lot of their opinions of Cam Ward are going to be based solely on the Titans' record. The Titans are 4-13. Cam Ward must not be very good. But I think Callahan makes a good point there. Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, statistically, they weren't that far apart last year. Jaden Daniels did something few rookies have done in NFL history and took a team to the conference championship game, while Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, they struggled. And that's why I've seen so much Caleb Williams stuff on talking head shows.
Right.
You know, we're going to know by October if he's a bust. Is this a huge year for Caleb Williams? They're not having those conversations about Jaden Daniels because Jaden Daniels won last year. But I do think that's an important distinction from Brian Callahan.
We touched on the Caleb Williams thing last week where they had the failures of last year where they were canning some of the coaches in the middle of the season, and now they brought in the guy that's the offensive guru that is supposed to fix everything. And we were talking about I'm going to mesh two stories in together of what your theme is, Adam. A, Caleb Williams is struggling, and this is his second year. He doesn't look good in practice. Plus, the national reporter, Albert Breer, was in Chicago on the day that he really struggled. And so he was trying to get the right perspective of that. So I think it goes to my biggest theme of, A, why is Cam Ward struggling? It's the beginning of camp. There's a lot of quarterbacks doing that. I just wonder about, nobody questions the freakish talent of Caleb Williams and the freakish talent of Jaden Daniels. What I'm waiting to see is, does Cam Ward have comparable talent when push comes to shove? I don't think he's going to make it or not make it based on his work ethic. I think everything that you hear about his makeup as leadership skills, as getting there at 4:30 in the morning, whatever time he is, he doesn't sleep in much. I think that's legit. He's not going to make it because he doesn't work hard enough, but he's got to make it because he's good enough.
If Cam Ward turns out to be somewhere in the first year between Drake May and Bo Nix, I think the Titans will take it. I think we look at these quarterbacks, and first, it's hard to compare all these quarterbacks and how their first year sort of goes off because every team is different. The way we talk about Jaden Daniels, we would have thought he just tore up the scene. Like, he was the best quarterback in the National Football League. But he wasn't that far better than Bo Nix. He wasn't that far, better than Caleb Williams if you're talking about numbers. Not even Drake May. It's the team and the makeup around him. You know, some quarterbacks, because of the personnel around them, some, even though their team may have picked them high, they go into situations a lot better than some quarterbacks that are picked high. You know, for instance, Bo Nix went into a better situation with the head coach who had won a Super Bowl, who was considered, Sean Payton, considered one of the greatest head coaches in the National Football League, or at least one of the best at that present time. So he walked into a situation with a defense that was top-notch. So he didn't have to. They didn't put a lot on his shoulders. You know, you look at his numbers, and they are really good numbers, but we don't talk about him the way we talk about Daniels. Why? Because it looked different. You know, all these quarterbacks, if Cam can come in and say, do what Caleb Williams did this past season and win some games, I'm good with that. People just see, especially when it comes to Caleb Williams, if you look at the numbers, he had some good numbers across the board for a rookie quarterback on a bad team. I think that's what Cam Ward is going to end up being this season. The Titans' version of Caleb Williams, because the talent isn't there just yet.
Let's just hope that Cam Ward isn't sacked anywhere near as much as Caleb Williams.
But I'm saying the talent.
I know.
They don't have the talent across the board, because even if Cam Ward plays well, the other guys around him have to elevate their game.
And Willie, it's not like the Titans were blind to these things when they scouted and ultimately drafted Cam Ward. They knew that he wasn't on par with other recent number one overall pick quarterbacks like Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams. They knew that. He's not a perfect prospect, but clearly they see something in him that with the right coaching, and people will certainly argue about whether Brian Callahan constitutes the right coaching, but they knew that this was going to be a work in progress.
And they've hitched their wagon to him, for better or worse. Everything is riding on him based on the decision they made to pick him and not take the extra picks. That is going to be a running theme that I know D-Base and I disagree on, but I hope he proves me wrong. But I think there's added pressure, that hopefully he won't feel. Hopefully he is bigger than all of that. But there will be a pressure from the public, the media, etc., because they're well aware that they could have traded down to number three, rode out the quarterback situation for another year, and accumulated the type of assets that this roster desperately needs. But that's why I'm really curious. I the day-to-day stuff, the further we're removed from it, like it's a new week coming up. They got a chance to take a deep breath here. We're going to go to another phase of the training camp. They're going to play practices against Tampa Bay. Hopefully he'll start to do better. They're still weeks away from him playing a game. But I think it's more of the big picture thing that I'm wondering. I want to see the flash, like the wow factor from him come out in these next few weeks.
Let's go to Dylan on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Dylan, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on if you think the Titans should pursue Micah Parsons, because you just talked about Bo Nix having an excellent defense and the weight being off of his shoulder. Well, I believe if you add Micah Parsons, then you have T. Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, and Micah Parsons on that defense. That helps the corners. That helps the offense. I feel like that'd be great for the development. And I know that the front office has said, you know, we want to collect picks and stuff. But the whole point of a pick is to hopefully get a guy that's good. Well, why not just trade those picks for a guy you know is a surefire thing? He's the first player since sacks have been recorded that he's had 12-plus sacks each of his first four seasons. So I was just wanting to get your guys' thoughts on that and see where you go from there.
Thank you, Dylan.
I mean, I think in theory, the Titans would love to have Micah Parsons and to team him up with Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat in that defense. Who wouldn't want that? But the problem is that when you get him, you're mortgaging. You're basically giving up your future. And I get it. But you got to understand, he's not a quarterback. If this team was one player, two players away, then, okay, you go out and mortgage it, get Micah Parsons, and more than likely you're going to find yourself in a playoff and you may just go on a run and end up in a Super Bowl. But this team is about 10 players away, maybe even more than that, from reaching that goal. And the only way you're going to be able to attain those players is through the draft. Borgonzi and Brinker has already said it. It's drafting, developing, and retaining players. I don't know how long they're going to stick to that philosophy, but they're sticking to it now. And as good as Micah Parsons is, he may just single-handedly be the best or one of the best players all around in the National Football League. But this team is not a Michael Parsons away from winning a championship.
Yeah,
another wide receiver, another offensive lineman, some more defensive players, some more backup players. That's how many players they are from winning, I believe, from winning a championship. So it sounds great going out and get Michael Parsons, but you're going to have to give up a whole lot to get him.
So basically,
capital you don't have.
It's yeah,
capital
exactly.
You have, and you have to sign him to the richest
contract
that any defensive player will have ever signed. That's mm-hmm. what it's going to end up. That's what he's looking for, and he probably deserves it. He's 26, so he can't make that much of a difference for that type of price. If he were a free agent, mm-hmm. that would be different. But we're talking about probably multiple first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'd have that thought if you'd have traded the pick last year. I'm not going to do that. Here we go again.
Quickly, I believe it was Adam Schefter who tweeted the Khalil Mack trade as a comparison.
Yes.
And that was multiple first-round picks. The Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a sixth-round pick for Mack, a second-round pick, and a conditional fifth-round pick. So that's probably what you're looking at as a starting point in a trade for Michael
Parsons. And Jerry Jones, does he even want to trade him?
No,
I think at the end of the day, he'll probably
sign him. He's going to sign him to a deal.
615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, will join us coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.